Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything, the year-long radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, how are you when you don't get what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's find out.
That was a fun one to look at, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here we go. First caller, right. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara from Chicago.
Hello,
hi,
Barbara.
Hi. Wow. Okay.
Wow, okay. Here we go.
Okay. Let me find my breath. So I'm behind in the assignments. I feel like I have to confess that. And so that's done. What I've been seeing, probably at the beginning of the retreat, was this big process of living between not ready and too late. This like continuum that constrained this life. And this morning, what I saw was this other point, like it's not ready, never ready. Too late. So there's just no room for being here, which is what I'm really wanting to be, where I'm wanting to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really interesting because it would seem, if a person weren't paying attention, that well, that must leave you in the present. it's not yet, and it's too late. Well, then that must be the present, but it's not, is it? And so what? What's happening, of course, is that attention is just flipping really quickly, really quickly back and forth between those two so that nothing is in the present is ever available to you.
Yeah,
it actually keeps you from ever being here.
That's so true. And there's, so what I'm seeing is this really strong desire. I guess this is life showing up that really wants to be here, in the place of not knowing, like where I feel like I am right in this moment, and then conditioning. Just there's the sensations are so strong and it feels so scary that that most of the time I don't do it. But then there's also this more powerful. I guess it's a desire, longing to be alive, you know, to be here.
Yes, 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 exactly. Ashwini often uses images along the lines of we're being sought or being pursued, right? Then you can feel that, right? Life is pursuing you to encourage you to be here with life and alive. Now, the good news about this is that you already are here, and that's how you're able to see the process that ego has been bamboozling you with, right?
Yeah, I can see it. What it's feeling like is something I have to do and work at, though. In the process of this retreat, I'm seeing that, like this, it feels, well, it feels effortful.
Yeah, but and what you're realizing is it's a not doing, right?
The
efforting is being done by ego to keep you out of the present, and that what you're learning to do is just relax into the present and not let those sensations, ego sensations of fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because ego is, it sounds so strange, but we're all used to it now. Ego is terrified that you're going to stop that process of not yet, too late, and actually be present. So every time that is a possibility, it just shoots you full of adrenaline. You get a really clear message, don't do that. Don't try to do that. Do you have a recording and listening practice?
I do, and it hasn't been very consistent until this retreat, so I'm really happy I'm participating in this because I have much more consistent. This morning I was recalling a time when I was really in the present, and there was everything I needed there. You know, I just, and it's not often that I access that, but I was able to do that this morning, so it was really wonderful.
And as you listen, of course, you'll be there more and more. So one of the ways you might use that practice now is I'm conditioned to believe that, and you do the one about the future. You know, not yet, not whatever it is. And that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that I'm always present, and every time I hear that or sense that, I want to come back to the breath, feel my feet on the ground or the floor, and feel the breath in my body and come to my senses and recognize that I'm here.
Yeah.
Every time I hear the message that it's too late, any form of that, I recognize that as a lie. And that's my signal to come back here, to acknowledge that I am in the present. And so in that way, you're taking the ego's arsenal away from it. You're using what it's used against you for yourself to bring you here where you want to be.
Yeah, so those are cues for me that that I've been hijacked.
Yes, and you could even add to it, those crazy sensations are ego being afraid that I'm going to be present. So I'm just going to breathe through those and use those as a signal to come to my body and let my body relax and breathe fully and be here.
Yes,
it's not good for the body. You know, what ego is doing to the body is not good for the body. All that adrenaline, all that cortisol, those are not good things.
I know. I know. I felt the other day I called into the radio, the evening show, and my hands were like ice. I mean, I was sitting there, and I could feel how I was being, like, I was in this conversation then about the sensations rather than being present, you know, like trying to manage the sensations. So.
Yes. Yeah. And it is what we can learn to do is say, woo, I'm really alive.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I'm alive.
I'd
like to be a little more subtle in it, but right now, I'm definitely here.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you much.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Barbara. You know, Sherry, what arose for me while I was listening to that is how much we have to practice grounding the sensation of presence, because we're so used to the sensation of listening to conditioned mind. And so all of those cues, all of that recording and listening to say, I'm really here, or looking down at my feet and going, what does it feel like to be here? We almost have to retrain ourselves to know when we're here. If we spent most of our time in that. Yes, to recognize it. Because we are here, as you said. It's just the attention is not here. And so when we bring the attention back to here, we have to really know what that feels like, so that we don't get bamboozled into believing that we're not here when we are.
That is such a good point. That was so clear. We are always here. Attention wanders. But we're always here. So it's bringing attention back to the here, which speaks to what Barbara was being told, that there's some sort of efforting to get here. But we're already here. We just need to bring attention to it and then recognize, oh, yes, of course I'm here. Where else could I be?
Yes. Yeah, because that field of awareness is always aware. And so when we have attention on awareness, that's the experience of presence.
Oh, very exciting.
Very exciting. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello, next caller.
Oh, hi, it's Monica from Oakland. Sorry, I was muted.
Hey Monica. You were doing the person mute thing.
Yes. Wow, that was a great conversation. And I've already sort of forgotten what Ashwini's follow-up was, but just that getting grounded in here, which is basically my experience of all the exercises, because you almost have to go into conditioned mind to answer the questions, and then you see that movement, and then yes. see the other experience of what's really so.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's good. That's exactly a perfect follow-up to what Ashwini was saying. So you're here in the present, right? Being animated by life, right? If that weren't happening, if we weren't already experiencing everything we need to be experiencing, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? So all of that is in place. We're being lived every single second. But intention goes all kinds of places, right? And which is what you just described. So there's a question. We're conditioned to go to conditioned mind to answer the question. But because you're here, you're watching that process. And then you come back
right.
to here, right? Drop the conditioned whatever it is, come back to here, and the intuition is there. The clarity is there.
Yeah, and the way that the questions are laid out, sometimes it comes, you know, in the sequence of questions, you know, like, so, you know, how are you when you get what you want? It's like, oh, I'm happy, and I feel kind of, you know, victorious. Like, there's some words, and then how
I
are
win.
You when you don't? What's that?
I win.
Yeah, there was a win. I was like, oh, I got what I wanted, and kind of like also sometimes a surprise, like this expectation that I'm not going to get what I want, and so sort of surprised that I am. And I was like seeing that, and then I was doing the one of how are you when you don't get what you want. And then I could really see the movement. It's like, oh, there's, you know, disappointment, da-da-da-da, and like, oh, kind of surprised when I don't get what I want also, and just kind of can go in all these different directions. But then I was seeing how just the wanting, the whole thing is sort of, it's just putting you in that duality so that you can step out of it and say, well, really not wanting is where the freedom is. And knowing that experience too of not wanting or not having
it. Right?
Not getting what you want, but wanting what you get. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I just had this image of little kids and that process of going, so it's your birthday or it's Christmas or it's Hanukkah or it's whatever you celebrate. And we go from, wee, to I want a specific thing. And
right.
None of the rest of it counts, right? Because I want that specific thing. And there is such a perfect picture of how ego does that to us. And we just forget we don't care about anything else. We forget everything that we already have, everything that we've received. We lose gratitude. It's just, now we're into that greed and clinging of ego. And, you know, I win if I get what I want, and I lose if I don't, and I'm upset and angry and disappointed if I don't, and I'm jubilant if I do, and you know, and to see how we're trained to all of that. There's nothing natural in it.
Right, right. And that image that you have with the present, like I was thinking of that present, and then sometimes when you get the present and then that feeling that you have when you, you know, that it just keeps, even when you get what you so-called want, it doesn't lead to freedom because
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
It breaks,
I don't
or it wasn't
the
exactly the right
I...
thing, or yeah,
yes, yes, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, or
well,
didn't bring the feeling.
Happier?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just super excited about the workbook, and I have to keep remembering the part about the point of the exercises is to bring compassion to the person doing the exercises or something, because I started out not remembering that, and I was like, it was just really putting me into conditioned mind the first few exercises, and I was really stressed about it. And then I looked at the back of the book one day and I saw that sentence and I was like, oh, wait, that's the reason we're doing this.
And this is not an indictment, right?
Exactly. And it really just shifted it into really having a good time with it. And I just can't imagine doing it without the calls and without, you know, just the support of Sangha. I think it would be really hard to have fun with it, just sitting, doing it alone at home.
Well, right, because what you're pointing out is so true. Conditioned mind would do it. Ego would do it. And self-hate would administer the beatings. So
right.
It just, you know, it's, yeah, I talk about that with people a lot with meditation. You know, so many people want to meditate. They start out meditating, and then they quit because all they're doing is meditating with self-hate. And it's really
right.
Fun. And it's definitely not enlightening. And so it's this, that's, to me, the what we're getting to see in this retreat is that process. So
great.
Right. When it's ego and when it's the heart.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then page 15, if I ever, I like to read page 15 a lot, where it says something about that, like beatings and criticism doesn't cause you to change anything or something. Anyway, so I literally like that.
Yep.
So yeah, okay.
That's making it better.
It's super exciting, and thank you, everyone, and
see you soon.
See you soon.
All right. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you.
Thanks, Monica. That was so fun, Cherry.
Yeah.
What I loved about that is that movement that Monica was talking about with you and you reflected, which is the movement between the conditional and the unconditional, that when we're here, we're just here with whatever it is. And we can feel that movement into, this might not be what I want, but it's not. My sense of well-being is dependent on whether I get what I want or I don't. That is a different place than being swung between that duality.
Yeah. Seeing it so clearly, it's really helpful. We get familiar with it in doing exercises like this, and then we can see it so much more quickly and easily when we're just out going around in the world. We know the difference in the feeling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. I guess I'm just calling in. I don't really have anything rehearsed, but just being
That's
part
good.
Of the queue. Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are you seeing about wanting and getting what you want and not getting what you want? And oh, my.
I guess when I get what I want, there's often surprise and kind of even there could be shock depending on what it is. And then I guess ego just kind of doesn't really know what to do for a while and has to regroup.
Right. It's so used to resisting that it kind of, when what it's resisting is removed, it's like leaning into the wind, right?
Yeah.
It's just all over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does regroup, doesn't it?
Yeah. Of course, when it does regroup, then often what happens is, it can come up with, I didn't really deserve it, or else it could or what happens more is it will minimize it or take it for granted and, then move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's important to see, isn't it? It's so clear that it's about the distraction of wanting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything to do with getting or having or enjoying or appreciating or any of those kinds of things. It truly is ego greed. You know, it's just to go after it, to be distracted by the desire, and then get it, not care about it anymore. Move to the next one.
Right, because, you know, as we all know, it can't live in the present. It has to be planning and living in the future, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the regrouping that you described is the conversation, isn't it? Well, it doesn't, that's not that big deal. I mean, I didn't even know why you bothered wanting that. You know, it's nothing. Who cares about that? Whatever that conversation is that starts up, that's ego regrouping, getting the attention back on it,
yeah.
Out of that shock.
Yeah, and then, like, when I don't get what I want, I mean, well, I actually had a really odd experience today at the eye doctor, so I had this visual field test, and he looks at the first one, he goes, oh my gosh, you have a tumor. Just from looking at it, and I was like, you know, that would definitely be what I don't want. But but then he gave me another visual field test, which was a better one, and it was normal. And so there was just this. it was basically shock. So I still feel shook up today. So yeah.
Are you considering a new eye doctor, Andrea?
No, because he's very candid, and, you know, immediately he did the next test, but, and I know a lot about these things because I'm in the medical field, so, but, yeah, it was an interesting experience, you know? I feel like
the reason that I said that,
yeah,
is that that is such a perfect example of what the voices in conditioned mind do to people.
Yeah.
So to have an external person, a professional person that you're paying money to,
right,
do the same thing to you that ego does to you inside your head.
Right.
I just, you know, we just might consider that would not be the something that you would want to put yourself in a position to receive.
Right.
That was where I was coming from. Yes, we can rationalize it. I mean, I can tell you why every single thing that appears in my head appears there. You know, I could tell you the story of when I was 10 and this, you know, so we know why that happens. But just to consider, and to, if nothing else, of course, there's the benefit of realizing what that does to the nervous system. So
right.
When we talk about the body and the body's struggle to, mm-hmm. to be healthy against all of that negativity that we know takes such a toll on the nervous system, on the immune system, on the body, right?
Right.
And you're having an experience of that. You're still shaken by it.
Yeah. So I'm definitely experiencing that. And I guess that could be, you know, what I didn't want to happen today. So I guess I'm just right in the experience, you know.
Yes. When we are identified with ego,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's, which is my whole point in this, that's the kind of experience we have. And so to use that as an opportunity to come back to presence, to help the body to calm down, to get
mm-hmm.
out of the head, out of the conversation, into the body, into the breath, and help the body relax and calm down and recognize presence. Seems a good plan for the rest of the day.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I definitely, you know, there's this, I'll schedule an appointment, you know, anywhere, like, you know, like 6 months in advance or whatever. And I don't really think about it. And then when I get to the place, you know, there's this whole conversation of, I don't want to be here, you know, and even before anything happens, you know, there's this feeling of, gosh, you know, what could go wrong, or, you know, so this whole conversation. So, but when that happened this morning, the interesting thing was a similar thing had happened like that 15 years before. And so it was just interesting to see, because one thing that seems to happen, like when I don't get what I want, you know, again, it's kind of like the other side. It's like the shock and ego's basically, what I noticed was a lot of sensations, like body sensations, but not a huge amount of conversation though. Like the conversation seems to happen after that, at least when it's like a shocking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes, we're conditioned to have those happen basically together, because mm-hmm. even though there isn't a lot of conversation at the time, you know what those sensations mean.
Yeah, and then what I've noticed too is I was doing this exercise, like similar exercises before, you know, last week, and what I saw was that there's this feedback loop, which is like, there'll be a sensation, and then the conversation will start, and it either might be talking about that sensation, and so the sensation will kind of cause the conversation, and then the conversation will go back and cause the sensation, and so the mind-body thing, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly so. That is exactly so, which is why we want to interrupt it, right? Because there's no reason for it. It's just a habit.
Right.
That's all. It's just a habit. It doesn't mean anything. There's no truth to it. It has no value. It's not helping us. Yeah. All
yeah,
right.
it's like the lots default state. So, yeah.
It's like the default. Right. Yep. And we want a new default.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thanks.
Sherry, we have about 3 more minutes. Shall we try to get another caller in?
Oh, let's.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
It's Ramita. Hi, Sherry. Hi,
hello, Ramita.
Hi, Ramita.
Oh, I am so grateful to be on. The first call could have been exactly me. I'm in a big workshop. The body sensations are wild, and the story has been there's something wrong with this. So grounding into presence has calmed me dramatically. I've got a lot going on that I doesn't want to be going on, and the positive side is I've been present enough to let life guide me, because there's no way that conditioned mind can manage all this.
Uh-huh. You know, Ramita, something I would ask you to consider,
please,
since you're so right in the middle of it and you'll get a good close look, is that I says it doesn't want it, but I is actually reveling.
Yeah, true that.
And and the way we can know that is that it never strays from whatever it is. You know, if we're really in a position where there's something very difficult. I just went back to childbirth, but that doesn't help everybody. But say there's intense physical pain, and then it stops. There is immediate gratitude. Right? There is not a turning attention back to the pain and reliving it and that sort of thing. There is a, oh, my gosh, I hope this lasts forever. Okay, well, I mean, not really, but you know what I mean. And so just to catch on to that, that as much as ego says it doesn't want this to be happening, it is just milking it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what, Ashwini, you were saying about being grounded and getting used to the feeling of presence, because life is guiding me. I mean, there's so much gratitude that, you know, life is dropping in. address this. This is the priority. Forget about that. Do this. Relax. Breathe. And but the sensations are so intense that ego's saying, this, I don't want this to last. How is this going to last forever? Which yes, I agree. It's reveling. It would love to torture me.
Oh, it's hoping.
Forever.
But yes,
when I
it's
just
hoping.
Dropped in, yeah, I just dropped in and say, oh, this is the new normal, meaning I'm waking up. Every cell in the body is awake. This is what it's going to feel like. And everything calmed down.
Yes. Yes, when there's no resistance to it. Right? And of course, ego is the resistance to it. Otherwise, it's back to that place of, wow, I am really alive.
Yes.
Right? I'm vibrating at a really high level here.
Yes, yes. Deep gratitude. Thank you so much. I'm going to practice. I'm going to make a big recording after this.
Good, good. Maybe write a song. You're dancing, right? You're remembering today.
Every cell is dancing. I'll put my feet to it, too.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ramita.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ramita. Oh, I love that. Every cell is dancing. Let me put my feet to it. Well, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. And our assignment today is, how do you keep from having what you want? Note the verb having. Record and listen.
Ooh. Okay. That's a good tip.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you,
All
Sherry.
Right.
We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.